As we move on to the next slide, there's a comment, and the comment most importantly here, knowing that we can now serve a defendant electronically by social media, email, or other technology, we have to look at some of the things that the courts consider and what those considerations are as it relates to proper electronic service. The reason why this is important is because this amendment actually was issued in the midst of the pandemic. This amendment happened August of 2020, and it became effective December 31st of 2020. Not very surprisingly, not a whole lot of lawyers were fully aware of the comments associated with this amendment, particularly how you can serve a party via social media. The considerations that the court looks at for a reasonably effective notice are determining whether the technology, the social media account, or whatever it may be, actually belongs to the defendant, and whether that person regularly uses or recently used the technology. So moving on to the next slide, the two real issues here are authentication and regular use. And, you know, the authentication really just goes to whether that account actually belongs to Cliff Ernst or Nate St. Clair. How do we know that that is the Nate St. Clair that would be the defendant in that case? More importantly, how do we know, or equally as important, how do we know that he or she uses it often enough to where we have successfully and reasonably accomplished service in this particular case? So the question remains, how do you determine the authenticity and regular nature of the use of the social media account? There are certain factors that the courts looked at, and we can move on to the next slide. The authentication piece of it, the court has looked at whether or not for Nate St. Clair's use and for us to determine that this is actually him, are there any recently posted photos or videos? Nate on a trip, Nate on vacation with his family, Nate at a company picnic right before he was fired or something like that. Any changes to relationship status? Also, you know, anything related to their job, changes, additional friends or followers added, those things allow a court to determine whether or not the selection and service of that person were reasonable based on the authenticity of that account. We're all very aware of spoof accounts on various social media platforms being developed and that only continuing. So part of that requirement is becoming more stringent. That's where the second part comes to play. With the regular use, we have to determine how frequent those pictures were posted, if they're continuing to like posts, if they're sending messages from their direct message account, various other things that would otherwise be considered updates to show that the account is otherwise authenticated and also regularly used. One of the reasons, one of the other considerations is in order to serve a person electronically through social media or email or otherwise, this rule requires strict compliance to some degree. And we can move to the next slide. One of the issues as it comes up is, and we can actually talk about a particular case, in the Spanton versus Bella case, the trial court allowed and authorized substitute service. But the problem here in the city of Dripping Springs, there's both a street called Heather's Hill Drive and also a street called Heather Hills Drive. Because substitute service was allowed and that person did not otherwise leave it at the right address, we cannot reasonably say that that person was served because it was left at a house with a similar street address. It's quite strange that a small town would have two street names that close together, but it's a perfect example of how this could be problematic if strict compliance weren't required. However, in another case, the court did not hold the plaintiff to the strict compliance because the court order stated that they leave it with a receptionist in one case or another person at the front office, where at a later point, it was later specified that they just left it at the front office. It was understood that they left it on the desk of a person who likely was an adult over age 16, and the court otherwise observed that the service was properly performed in that case. This all begs the next question, and we can move to the next slide. What are the required procedural steps? The rule addresses this clearly as well. As a litigant, we must file a motion for substituted service with a sworn statement based on the information, including the information that we believe otherwise shows that the earlier attempts at service were unsuccessful, and the information that supports where we believe this person can otherwise be found. Now, I know you guys might be thinking, okay, you know, give us some examples. How has this ever worked in practice? And for at least in Texas, it's still early to say. However, we can move to the next slide. There are only a handful of other U.S. states that have authorized service through email or social media, two being New York and New Jersey, and the other one being Utah. However,